Welcome to today's Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Farm groups are praising the implementation of a program in California that helps growers temporarily idle agricultural lands or do groundwater recharge projects to benefit vulnerable domestic wells. The State Department of Water Resources recently awarded a combined $17 million to three local entities created under the 2014 Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is phasing in restrictions on pumping in areas where aquifers are depleted. The program called LandFlex is used to help permanently eliminate groundwater overpumping on each enrolled acre of land. Part of this is through enabling growers to use their lands for groundwater recharge in lieu of planting crops. Aubrey Betancourt, president and CEO of the Almond Alliance, says LandFlex owes its success to the voluntary participation of growers. She said growers' involvement showcases their determination to find immediate solutions rather than waiting until 2040 to achieve sustainability goals. Grant funds will be allocated to three groundwater sustainability agencies. $7.7 million will go to the Lower Tulare Irrigation District. $5 million will go to the Pixley Irrigation District. And $4 million will go to the Westlands Water District. LandFlex was launched earlier this year with $25 million in grants awarded, but DWR officials say agencies that receive funding did not use it all, so a second round of grants has been issued. Organic fresh produce grew slightly in sales dollars and volume in the second quarter 2023, reversing a trend of volume loss seen in 2021 and 2022, according to the quarter two 2023 organic produce performance report issued by Organic Produce Network and Category Partners. Overall, organic fresh produce dollar sales increased by 1.5% for quarter two 2023 compared to the same period last year, with sales for the quarter topping $2.4 billion. Volume movement nudged up slightly less than 1%, reversing a downward volume trend that started in 2021. During quarter two 2023, conventional produce dollar sales grew by 2%, while volume declined by 1.3% as total sales topped $18.8 billion. As conventional produce outperformed organic produce in dollar growth, it appears price increases on conventional produce are being more easily absorbed by consumers than higher prices in organics. In the second quarter of this year, 11 of the top 20 organic fresh produce categories posted increases in dollar sales compared to the same period last year. Organic citrus posted the largest percentage increase, up 19.4%, followed by bell peppers, mushrooms, and cucumbers. At the same time, grapes and avocados posted double-digit declines for the quarter. Berries, including strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries, and packaged salads continue to be the two dominant organic fresh produce categories, combining to top $850 million for the quarter. Berry sales showed a 3.3% increase from the same time last year, topping $454 million in sales, while the packaged salad category was flat at $396 million in sales. Noticeable volume gains for the quarter were seen in 12 of the top categories, including double-digit gains with onions, citrus, and avocados. Organic celery posted the largest decline in volume, down 23%, followed by grapes and potatoes. Geographically, organic performance was a mixed bag, with the West and Northeast region seeing increases in dollar sales and declines in volume. The quarter two 2023 organic produce performance report covers total food sales in the U.S., including all outlets, which includes supermarkets, mass merchandisers, club stores, dollar stores, convenience stores, and military commissaries. The quarter two 2023 organic produce performance report is available on the Organic Produce Network website. California wildfires are getting a lot of attention, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
But as we move to the more active fires, a couple of that have been getting quite a bit of attention recently. In California, we have the York Fire that has burned about 77,000 acres, and there is no containment yet on that wildfire. That fire is burning in the desert. It's about almost 50 miles northwest of Needles, California, and there's been a lot of wind and dryness associated with that. So there's been a lot of spread of that fire across vast distances as embers have carried quite a distance.
USA meteorologist Brad Rippey. Environmental Farming and Innovation is currently accepting grant applications from commercial dairies and livestock operations for manure management projects. Individual grant applications can receive up to $2.85 million in award per project. The awards would fund the installation of equipment and implementation of practices that result in long-term methane emissions reductions and maximize environmental co-benefits. The application deadline is Monday, August 28th. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is offering grants for the Alternative Manure Management Program and the Dairy Digester Research and Development Program. The programs are both supported by funding from the Budget Act of 2022, with $48 million appropriated for livestock methane reduction and an additional $20 million specifically for AMP through the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. AMP will make approximately $20.9 million available and DDRDP approximately $11.4 million available for 2023 awards, with remaining funds available in a subsequent solicitation expected in 2024. New this year, the Dairy Plus program offers the opportunity to amplify the reach and scope of traditional AMP and DDRDP projects through contributions from the USDA Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program. CDFA and the California Dairy Research Foundation joined forces to secure funding for this program, which will reduce greenhouse gas emissions while expanding markets for climate smart commodities. Dairy Plus will fund advanced manure management practices that reduce GHG emissions and address nutrient surpluses. New AMP and DDRDP applicants and previous AMP and DDRDP recipients are eligible to apply. For more information on any of the programs, log on to the CDFA website. The deadline to apply for all programs is August 28th. San Diego-based Wiliot, the Internet of Things pioneer whose visibility platform is enabling trillions of things to gain intelligence, has announced that Frank Yannis, the former Deputy Commissioner of Food Policy and Response of the Food and Drug Administration, has joined the company as a strategic advisor. With his appointment, Yannis will help advise the food and retail markets on the ways in which the ambient lot and the real-time item-level visibility it delivers can help meet the FSMA Rule 204 obligation that requires the safe tracking of food products and a sharing of traceability data with the FDA and consumers. The FDA's new food traceability rule has become a catalyst for retailers to modernize their supply chains, according to Wiliot CEO Tal Tilmer. Yannis's leadership in food safety and response will be pivotal in helping them to educate the market on how this moment and the adoption of ambient lot by some of the world's largest retailers can enable the food business to meet their societal and regulatory traceability requirements. Ambient lot is a battery-free wireless technology that is being incorporated into multiple wireless standards such as Bluetooth, 5G Advanced, 6G, and Wi-Fi, allowing food, medicine, and clothing to be connected to the Internet and the power of AI at a fraction of the cost of legacy technologies. The ambient lot enables a new real-time inventory paradigm that not only benefits compliance and safety, but is the key to more efficient store operations, surviving and thriving in the face of omni-channel competition and competing on quality as well as value, according to the company. Until now, barcode techniques suffered from higher labor costs and low accuracy and compliance. Legacy RFID tags have been an option for decades, but the high infrastructure and reader costs have required handheld scanning with limited visibility and accuracy. The ambient lot is an evolution of this technology, using commodity Bluetooth radios instead, leveraging the latest security and sensing and the ability to interact with the smartphones that are already pervasive in stores. In addition to Yannis's ambient lot industry thought leadership, he will also advise Wiliot on how to best leverage its platform within the food safety ecosystem to achieve enhanced food safety and traceability.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Like many other crops in the state, walnuts are shaping up to have an interesting crop year as the crop is currently 2 weeks behind of normal due to the cool, wet winter and rain experienced earlier this year. Growers saw leaf out and bloom happen later than usual, but quality is top of mind as growers also haven't had to deal with as many of the usual perils, things like frost or even sunburn damage, that walnuts typically see. Walnut manager Davin Noreen of Big Time Farming gave his thoughts on the health of trees this season.
We had an amazing winter and plenty of chill hours, very long spring, lots of water, lots of precip. So refilled the soil profile with water. The trees got good rest. It was cool and damp for a long time. Those are all things that are good for walnut trees. So as compared to previous seasons where, you know, not only was it, you know, cold at certain times of the year, it also, it was very dry. And that combination is hard on trees, and we had frost damage. But again, that frost damage is kind of a combination of how dry it is plus the cold weather. At certain times. And so, yeah, compared to, you know, previous years where we've had the really cool dry springs or really dry winters and then cold snaps, this year everything's was super healthy. And we missed any freeze events during bloom. Again, all the trees are in a very low stress situation, so everything's faring really, really well.
Noreen also thought back to last year's mold anomaly and noted growers shouldn't expect that type of event to happen again. It's not something that's easy to indicate at this point in the growing season.
Indicators would be, you know, how much blight you have in your orchard, which this year was very minimal amount of walnut blight in most orchards that I've looked at. How many other bacterial or fungal issues do you have going in the orchard? And do you have a lot of dead wood? Do you have a shaded out canopy with walnuts that get blackened early? Those are all indicators of a mold problem. But again, you don't really know until you run them through the holler and get your grade back. The other thing that, you know, really impacts your mold counts is being sure that you get a really quick, prompt harvest. You shake the trees and you get the walnuts up in a matter of hours, ideally, no more than a day, is ideal. Having a good, clean orchard, prompt harvest, those are all things that you can do to minimize your mold counts.
Noreen thinks the all-around improved conditions of this year's walnut crop will fare very well for growers and processors.
We'll be right back there again this year. We should have a really high quality crop, knock on wood, barring any extreme heat or weather events. Crop should be excellent, and the crop should be of good size. So yeah, we should be able to fill all of the market demands. Last year's extreme weather, I think, is related for is responsible for a huge amount of the underpayment that growers received. I think without weather event that caused that, you know, our catastrophic quality decline, I think growers would have been right at a break-even point again, kind of where we had been hovering for, you know, several years. But that weather event really destroyed our crop and our ability to market it successfully. So there's no good reason why we shouldn't be right back up there, and hopefully market conditions are actually, you know, very, very much improved. If all all indicators are true, growers should see improved pricing.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Following its downgrade of the U.S. government's credit, Fitch Ratings yesterday also downgraded the Farm Credit System as the government-sponsored entity that is tied to the debt and ratings of the federal government. The immediate impact of the downgrade in ratings on farmers and agribusinesses that rely on farm credit lenders is likely minimal for now, but FCS's four banks and 59 lending associations nationally could see their reserve requirements affected in the future if another rating adjustment is made down the line. As a government-sponsored entity, the FCS benefits from implicit government support are directly linked to the U.S. sovereign rating. Energy Information Administration data shows that ethanol output and inventories dropped to three-week lows during the week ending on July 28th. The biofuel production dropped to an average of 1.06 million barrels a day during the week. The EIA report says that's down from 1.09 million barrels the previous week and the lowest level since July 7th. In the Midwest, the largest producing region in the country, output dropped to 1.00 million barrels a day on average from 1.02 million a week earlier. The agency said that's also the lowest point in 3 weeks. West Coast production was closer to normal levels of 13,000 barrels a day, down from the previous week's record to total 25,000 barrels. Production in the Gulf Coast, Rocky Mountain region, and East Coast levels were unchanged from the previous week. AgWest Farm Credit of the Pacific Northwest recently announced a new grant program providing one-time startup funds of $15,000 for those looking to get their agricultural business off the ground. AgWest Vice President Jessica Harper says the grant program is to help those who are really prepared and have thought this through.
The goal is through the application process and getting to know them at that early stage, we can help foster their growth kind of in a way that would be appropriate for a positive ag lending experience later on into the future and to help them get started. We want to help people just get that really positive start as opposed to maybe finding financing when they maybe shouldn't have got it or that isn't structured appropriately for what they're trying to get done.
Understanding their plan, Harper says, is key.
Without having a good foundation of understanding of a cash flow budget and what's their business plan, you know, covering all those important aspects, we can't be sure of their long-term viability. So it's important in the application process to know that they've thought through those things.
And Harper says if direction is needed for the business and financial plan, there is information on their website.
We've got some one-hour pre-recorded content related to preparing financial statements, including a cash flow budget, which is one of the requirements. Similarly, we've got some resources related to writing a business plan and a template for the essay and for the business plans.
Harper says they'll go through the applications in September, and later this fall, we'll have an awards ceremony to announce the chosen applicants. For information, log on to agwestfc.com. The International Dairy Foods Association has announced that 30 emerging leaders of the dairy industry have been accepted into the fifth cohort of the Next Gen Leadership Program, which is a signature program of IDFA's People Strategy. The group of emerging leaders was selected based on their experience and scope of responsibility within their organizations. They have been identified by their nominating companies as tomorrow's dairy industry leaders. The program, now in its fifth year, is designed to support, guide, and prepare mid to senior level dairy industry professionals who are ready to take the next step in their leadership journey. The year-long program equips participants to build and expand relationships with their peers, hone leadership skills, and acquire advanced advocacy skills for the dairy industry. The cohort will convene regularly over the course of the coming year with a mixture of both in-person and virtual modules. The program focuses on three core areas: advocacy, education, and networking. A complete list of the dairy industry leaders that will be a part of the Next Gen Leadership Program Cohort 5 can be found on the International Dairy Foods Association website, which is IDFA.org. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Harvest for All program was recently awarded for its impact on local communities. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more.
Farm Bureau's Harvest for All program recently received the Power of Association Summit Award from the American Society of Association Executives. Matt Feynman, AFBF Young Farmers and Ranchers Chair, says the program helps address hunger in rural America.
So the Harvest for All program, members involved in the Young Farmer and Ranchers program take the lead in planning, coordinating, and executing the initiative, often with involvement from local community leaders and supporters. It's all about addressing hunger in rural America.
In 2022, Harvest for All participants donated 25.3 million pounds of food and $1 million to local food banks. Fyman says the award recognizes the economic and societal contributions of the program.
We're really excited about receiving the Power of Association Summit Award from the American Society of Association Executives for our successful Harvest for All initiative. It's really exciting to be able to receive this award. AFBF is one of six recipients and the only association recognized with a focus on agriculture.
Fyman says the Harvest for All program embodies the spirit of Farm Bureau.
Farm Bureau is a grassroots membership agriculture and nonprofit. We organize farmers and ranchers at the local, state, and national level so that we can serve as a voice of agriculture. And to be able to bring all these young farmers and ranchers together and have the initiative of putting together these events, often with involvement from local and community leaders and supporters, it really means a lot, and it shows that we have young people out there that want to serve a purpose.
Learn more at fb.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
For more than 20 years and the last four farm bills, farm program payments were based on a farm's historical planted acreage or base acres and not on actual plantings each year. Several agricultural groups and stakeholders are pushing for an update to base acres in the next farm bill. However, Senate Ag Committee Republicans released a report saying a mandatory base acre update would force farmers to update their farm's base acres to reflect a more recent snapshot of their planting history. The economic effects would be significant and are conservatively estimated to result in an overall loss of $2 billion to farmers and rural communities because of a decline in farm program benefits in fiscal years 2024 to 2023. Few in agriculture would benefit from a base acre update, according to the report. It would create winners and losers and would certainly complicate efforts to pass a farm bill.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.